Good morning. How is everyone doing? We are surviving the heat, aren't we? Sort of. Yes, we thank God for the heat because it makes us appreciate the cool weather when it comes. Praise the Lord. Well, these last few weeks, I have felt led to do other portions of Scripture. We're taking a pause on Acts until the Lord directs me otherwise. And today is another example. Last week, we covered John 10 with the Good Shepherd. Today, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to read some Scripture. If you go to the book of Malachi, which is just to the left of Matthew, it's the last book of our Old Testament. He's the last of the minor prophets, and I'm going to read a portion, and we'll see how the Lord directs. Malachi 3. And I'm going to jump right into verse 6 and verse 7. For I, Yahweh, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says Yahweh of hosts. But you say, how shall we turn? Let me read again. For I, Yahweh, or the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. It is in the Scripture that God indicates his unchangeable nature. In this context, Malachi is a prophet to the post-exilic people of Israel who have come back from Babylon. The temple has been rebuilt. The walls of Jerusalem are being rebuilt. But the people are really lacking in their devotion to God, and they are neglecting what God called them to do. And they had failed to bring proper sacrifices. Their priests were kind of being lazy. Everyone was, and they're wondering, God, where are you? Now, I'm not going to do a teaching of the whole book of Malachi, but basically, they're questioning God at every point. He's like, you've changed, God. And God says, no, actually, I do not change. And the reason why that's good news, because if I did change, you, Jacob, would be consumed, because I keep my promises, even though you don't keep your promises. And he points out in verse 6 and verse 7 how Jacob, Israel, have been so neglectful of God throughout their entire history of being a people of God. They've constantly turned away from God, but God says, I don't do that. And in times of change, brothers and sisters, you and I need a God who does not change, amen? In times of change, Jesus Christ is our constant, amen? Life changes, doesn't it? But God does not change. In fact, changes in life do not change God. Many things in life change. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 102, verse 25 and 26. It says, of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you will remain. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years do not come to an end. Life changes, doesn't it? And you and I don't like change. I don't know about you, but I don't like change. We spend an awful lot of time and energy preventing change, don't we? I'm a planner. How many of you guys are planners? And I anticipate and try to plan for the unexpected, right? The unexpected this or unexpected that. We like the status quo. We like things that are routine. When I go on vacation, it throws me off because I'm out of my routine. I come back and I finally discovered devotion to God again because I'm used to have a routine here in town. But out of town, it throws me off. I like routine. I like constancy in life. We don't like change. and life changes, but God doesn't change. People change, don't they? We grow older, but God doesn't grow older. We grow weaker, but God doesn't grow weaker. We grow forgetful. I don't know about you, but I'm becoming more and more forgetful. Sometimes I'll forget your name. I'll remember your face and say, who is that again? But God does not forget. We grow less energetic. Young people realize your energy is given to you over time, and then when you get older, you have to work to get more energy. But God does not deplete in energy. Amen? Our plans may change. We all have plans in our life, but they may change. But God does not change. Our hopes, our expectations, oh, they change, don't they? But God does not change. Our relationships change, but God does not change. Friends may move away. Friends may come and go, but God remains constant. He does not change. Friends may die, but God remains. Lost loved ones, even pets, grow old and go, but God is constant. Children grow up and they mature, but God remains the same. Couples grow closer or they grow distant from each other, but God remains the same. The world is constantly changing. You can't help but turn on the news every single day. It's a new thing here, a new thing there, and it's chaotic, but God remains the same. Leaders come and they go, right? The empires come and go. They make promises. They deliver. They fail. They let you down, and it's nothing. It's all the same, isn't it? The earth is getting older, and all the fears of global warming and all this kind of stuff. Oh, that's all. But God remains the same. You guys hearing my point here? Everything in life may change, but God does not change. Amen? My car is getting older. My house is depreciating. My backyard is getting, well, thank God for good maintenance people, but it changes. But God does not change. He does not depreciate. He does not diminish. Amen? Now, there's three questions I want to answer. Hopefully, the Lord will give it. What do we mean? First question is, what do we mean that God does not change? What do I mean by that? That God does not change. Second question will be, well, how does God not change? In what ways? And how does God not change? And thirdly, what's the implications of all this? What do we mean that God does not change? I'll tell you what I don't mean. It does not mean that God has no emotions. God's not up there in heaven just emotionless to what's going on in your life. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. God very much shows emotions. You see in the scriptures how Jesus was moved with compassion in Matthew 9:6, how he sees the people who are being, they're kind of scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Now God, Jesus Christ is moved with anger sometimes at the Pharisees and other times with compassion over those who are in trouble. So I don't mean that God doesn't have emotions. God certainly does have emotions, appropriate emotions. He's not cold-hearted. He's not distant and indifferent to what you're facing in your life. That's not what I mean. It does not mean that God doesn't have a caring heart. He does have a caring heart. It does not mean that God doesn't change his mind depending on the situation you're in life. For example, before you became a Christian, if you're a Christian, you were facing the wrath of God. But after becoming a Christian, you face the favor of God. Amen? 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are toward their prayer, one side, but, contrast, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In the book of Jonah, God threatened the people of Nineveh. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them that I'm going to judge them. So Jonah rose, Jonah 1:2, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come against before me. Then Jonah began, verse 3, verse 4, to go throughout the city a day's walk and cried out, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I'm warning you, Nineveh, you're going to be judged. What does Nineveh do? They repented. And in chapter 3, verse 10 says, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God, what? Relented or changed concerning the calamity that he would bring upon. In other words, God is a changing God in the sense that he changes to people who repent, right? He relents. For example, in Malachi verse 3, am I talking too fast? Slow down. I'm excited. I'm just slow down there. In verse 7, in Malachi 3, verse 7, bring that up real fast. He says, return to me, and I will return to you. So what I don't mean, if God does not change, it does not mean he doesn't respond to repentance. He certainly does. Relenting is part of his nature. Joel 2:13 says, rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. That's why Abraham intercedes for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, hey, my nephew Lot's there. Hey, will you spare that city for 50 righteous people? Yes, I'll spare it. For 40, yes. All the way down to 10. If 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented, he would have spared that city. To this day, they'll be around, Lord willing. But that's not what I mean, that God does not change. What I mean by this, this is my second question, is how does God not change? He does not change in his property. What does that mean? In his essence, in his being. So God is made of God stuff, we'll call it. In his property as God, he does not change. His nature does not change. When he meets Moses, Moses says, who do I tell who you are to the people of Israel and Egypt? He says, tell them, I am has sent you. Now, I am is a present tense verb, right? And what he was is what he still is and what he ever will be. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. In his nature, God does not change. He does not become more God than he is, and does not become less God than he is, right? You and I will change. We grow older, weaker, and maybe by the power of Jesus Christ, some of us grow better as people, right? Sanctified. But God, in his being, does not change. You and I were dead in sin, and something happened to us. God had to make us born again. He had to change our very nature, but God did not change. If God could change in his being, in his property, in his essence, would he change for the better? Or would he change for the worse? Or would he change for something else, right? Would he grow from immature to mature? He's a young God here, and he's an older, mature God here. He's a class B God here, and he's a class A God here. He's a class B God here, and a class D God. He doesn't any of that change. He is perfect. He's unchanging. Does this make sense? He's absolutely perfect. But what do you do with the incarnation? What do you do with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right? He's deity, and he becomes man, doesn't he? Well, here's the thing. When Jesus Christ became man, it did nothing to his divinity. When he took on flesh, he did not improve or diminish the deity himself. He just took on human flesh. He is one person, Jesus Christ, with two natures, and those natures are not mixed. As a human, he grew tired, but as God, he never wearied. As a human, he grew hungry. As God, he never grew hungry. In fact, he's the supply, right? When Jesus Christ became a man, it did not change God or his deity, one being. He clothed himself with human flesh, but still had the power of God behind that. So God does not change. He does not change in who he is. Secondly, he does not change in his perfections. His attributes, what does that mean? What he does, who he is, right? He is complete, for example, in his holiness. Isaiah 6, the angels say, holy, 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 three times, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but absolutely utter perfect, holy. What does holiness mean? Holiness, kadosh, is the word in Hebrew. It means, or hagios in Greek, it means to be completely set apart, unique. God as a being is completely unique and distinct from all other beings, right? He is completely separate from sin, And he's completely separate and distinct, both in his essence and how he treats people in his relationship. He is uniquely holy. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome praises, working wonders?" 1 Samuel 2:2 says, "There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor there is there any rock." God is completely holy. He is separate from evil, separate from wickedness, separate from sin. He is absolutely pure, and nothing can change his holiness. Thank you, Jesus. God always is and will remain holy, and he doesn't diminish that. He doesn't diminish that. He is perfectly holy. 1 John says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And thank you, Jesus, because if I'm going through dark times, I still need the light of Jesus Christ. If he diminished in any way, that would fail me, right? God does not change. He will always be light. He will always be good, right? He will always be holy. I like to say that God is allergic to sin, right? You and I as believers can grow more sanctified, more holy, more wiser. Is that more wiser or just wiser? Through Jesus Christ. We need to change, but God does not change. And we need a God who is constant in life. His goodness cannot change. He is good. That means he is toward his children. The Lord is good to all, the psalmist says. And his mercies are over all his works. The eyes of all look to thee, and you give them their food in due time, and you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every human being. His knowledge does not change. One of the things in life is that we often, every single day is unknown to us, isn't it? Right? And so we don't like we said, we like to plan ahead, but for us, our knowledge is limited to what we can anticipate but not really be certain of and what we can remember. But God's knowledge doesn't change in all that. He knows everything that was, is, and will be, and he knows everything that could have been if certain things had happened. He knows every possibility, every situation. If so-and-so would have repented, what that would look like. He knows all things actual, possible, past, present, future, for all eternity. I love that. He knows the mysteries of the world. You know, scientists get all so excited because they discover new things of the scientific world, and they say, "Oh, now we're so much like God." No, you're not. You're just barely scratching the surface, not even scratching the surface of the knowledge that God has instilled within creation to say, "But this displays my glory because I do not change, and the heavens declare the glory of God." He knows my hidden thoughts. He knows the intentions of my heart. Sometimes that scares me because I'm like, "Lord, oh boy, I need help with that. I know what I said, but I know what I meant." And you see that, and you don't change in that. Amen? He knows the future events. So many of us, we look at the news and we're wondering, is God even care about this? And I'll tell you about this. That God knows the future. All of history is going to his purpose and his plan. Your life is going according to his plan. Remember the good works, Ephesians 2:8-10, talk about the good works that God has called us to walk in. He has planned it ahead of time. And they are things that he knows ahead of time. Isaiah 46:9 says, "Remember the former things from long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." He knows all the things, and history is going according to his plan. He knows you before you were born. I love what he says to Jeremiah, "Before you were born, I consecrated you." Jeremiah, you're young, and you're immature, and you're not sure, but I called you before you even born. I knew you. I love that. He knows the details of our lives. He knows that everything. And God does not change. His presence doesn't change. If I go away from him, he's still there. If I go near to him, he's there, obviously. If I try to venture off anywhere else, he is always there. If I, as the psalmist says, ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God cannot change. And he can't change his control. Many are fearful because the world seems to be constantly changing. Life is constantly moving, and no one knows the direction that is. People are afraid. They look to their leaders. Leaders come, they promise, they go, they rise, they fall. But God is so sovereign over creation that it's all leading to his will being done and Jesus Christ coming back to this earth to rule on the throne. So the psalmist says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy in your fellows." God does not change. His strength does not change. His trustworthiness does not change. He is just as faithful to you today as he was in the past. Is this helping anyone out? Or am I just boring you? Because I'm not bored. Because if you're bored, I don't know. We're talking about a God who is dependable, who is trustworthy, who is faithful, who is good. And he can't become more gooder or more faithful than he already is. I may wander off, but he is still faithful to go search after me, right? I may neglect him, but he doesn't neglect me. Every day is a new day. Guess what? Sun rises, sunshine. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. The birds are chirping in the air. Things in my life might not go into my plans because I'm not sovereign over my life. Young people, you're not sovereign over your life. If you think you're sovereign, God will prove you wrong time and time and time again. And the sooner you say, "Yes, Lord, I surrender to your sovereign will," the better, right? And his will for you, listen, is to come to Jesus and follow him. Don't waste your time veering off wrong paths. Don't waste your time. Come to Jesus, follow him every single day of your life. Because you're not even promised tomorrow. None of us is promised tomorrow. Don't take it for granted that you're going to live to 90 years old. Because God doesn't change, but you and I, we change, all right? Amen? I was talking to some young people recently, and they're like, you know, I've got these plans. I'm going to become a great person there. I'm like, yeah, you got a lot to learn. God bless you for your earnestness. You know, God bless you for your excitement. But God bless you, you know, and let the Lord's will be done, you know. God will remain faithful because guess what? Friends will come and go, and you're like, where do my friends go? Right? Where do they go? They don't call him anymore. They don't see him anymore. They don't care. But Jesus Christ is there every single day. Right? Come on. When we come here to worship on Sunday morning, who cares who's not here? You know who's here? Jesus Christ. Amen? We're come here for him. If no one else was in heaven but Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the angels, hey, God, that would be enough for me. Amen? And by the way, God has not forgotten about you. Remember, God doesn't forget. God doesn't say, now who are you again? Remind Gabriel, who's this guy again? No, he's got you imprinted on the hands, on the palms of his hands. God has not forgotten. God does not change. And guess what? His love for you does not change. I don't know about you, I struggle with that tremendously. Because sometimes I feel like I'm lovable and able to be loved, and sometimes like I'm a complete jerk, God. I'm so sorry. I don't deserve your love. You know, let me start all over again. You know, let me start one more time, God. Here I come to you as if for the first time. You know, okay, Lord. You know, but his love for you does not change. He goes, we're afraid that people don't love us. You know that? Because what if they found out the truth about how I think and feel? What if they really knew me? Would they love me? That's the question. All of it. We hate rejection, but God knows everything about you. And still loves you. Now, if that's not a hallelujah verse, I don't know what is, right? Because he loves you when you're messy, when you're dirty, when you're just stuck in the mud pile of sin. But he also loves you when you're broken, when you're hurting, when you're wondering, and you're doubting, and you're questioning. He loves you. His love does not change. Amen? My love can change, my love can grow cold, but his love is unwavering. It is constant through Jesus Christ. He is unchanging in his love and his affection towards you. Unchanging. I love what Paul says in Romans 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Camp out in that, swim in that river of God's love and kindness. Embrace that, be embraced, be washed over by his love and say, thank you, Jesus. You mean me? I'm the woman caught in adultery. Not me personally, but I'm the one who denied you, Lord. But me, Peter says, I'm the one who scoffed at you before. But now I failed you, Lord. I should have known better. Yes, I should have come through, but you still love me? Our love will change, but God's love never changes. You just dwell, let that sink into your system all day long, and then see how your worship to God goes. When you realize, what? He loves me? Right? And we have come to know and have believed that God loves us. 1 John 4, I'm butchering the text. Like, not just knowing that God loves you, but and you believe it. That will change your life. Zacchaeus in Jericho. We were there. He climbs a tree, and Jesus says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for a bite to eat." And you're a little short man, a tax collector. No one likes you, and you're always pushed to the side. No one wants to be near you. And he's like, "I'm coming to your house." And Zacchaeus is like, "Whoa," you know. And his life was changed by the love of Jesus Christ, amen, and the grace of Jesus Christ. And if he was the same yesterday to Zacchaeus in Jericho and Jerusalem, he is the same to you and I today in Phoenix, Arizona, wherever you may be. He is the same God. To those who think they believe they deserve his love, and to those who know they don't deserve his love, your love or God's love for you is not because you deserve it. He doesn't look and say, "Oh, that's a lovable person." No, that's not a lovable person. That's a lovable. He says, "No, I love the unlovable person as much as the lovable person, because God is love. That's what he does. That's who he is. Amen? And he doesn't change." This is good news. This is what we tell our friends and neighbors, that God has made a way through Jesus. For God so loved the world, right? He so what? He so loved the world. The world hated him. Jacob turned away. Israel turned away from God. And God says, "I do not change. You may turn away. You may do in what you normally do, but I am still faithful to my promises. I'm still faithful." And that's my third point, is that he is faithful. He's unchanging in his promises. He's unchanging in his promises. Oh, boy. The counsel of the Lord, Psalm 33:11, stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. He is unchanging in his commitment to the believer. Over and over, there's so much scripture I can share on this. I won't. 1 Kings 8:56 says, "Blessed be the Lord who has given us rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant." And I love the fact, when he made a promise to Abraham, it was years in the making of fulfillment. Years, but God still kept his promise. You may be sitting in those years of silence. In the time, the season of silence, like God, his promise still hold fast. His word will come to pass. Every word in the scripture is true. Every single word. You doubt a word, you might not understand it, but if every single word in this is true, you may not come to the reasoning of it, but it's all true. The believer, you and I, can take God at his word. He has promised to save us. How many of you guys are hoping for that salvation? Right? None of us. Only me and Sharon. Okay. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, he saved you, present tense, and he is saving you, present tense, okay, past tense, saved, present, he is saving you, sanctifying, and he will save you. You die and go to heaven, or the rapture comes, he takes you, right? So you're looking forward to that promise, right? You're looking forward, you're saying, okay, those who place their faith in Jesus Christ shall be saved, right? And you're hoping for that. I'm hoping for that. Maybe if you were hoping for that, if you're not hoping for that, then put your hope in Christ. But he will keep his word. No matter how you feel, no matter how icky you've been or how life is, he will be faithful. And if you're his sheep, oh, he knows how to find you, and he knows how to gather you. He knows to protect you. He knows how to hold on to you, and he knows how to bring you to the Father, amen? Because he does not change. I love this. God's promises and plans for us have not changed. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore, as through him he is our amen, and he is our amen to the glory of God through us. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And what he starts in a person's life, he will complete." If you may be newly born again, and he's working your life, and underneath the surface, and he's doing things, he will complete it. He is unchanging to his promise. I love what he says. If I go away to prepare a place for you, i.e. heaven, that's what he's doing right now. I don't know what that place looks like, but God knows what he's doing. Jesus Christ is working. I will come again and receive you to myself, right? That's a promise. That's a promise. The world is hoping for those kind of promises, and it can't. Only Jesus Christ can deliver. He remains unchanged in his promises. Now, third question and the final question is, well, what does it all mean for us? Well, what did we mean by God doesn't change? In what ways does he not change? And thirdly, what's the implications, and why is this such a big deal? Why are you going through all this energy to tell me this? Well, I mean, like we said before, if God did change, would it be for the better, for the worse? If his love did change, would it be for less loving, more loving? No. The implication is this: because God does not change, because God does not change, when you're going through a hard time, guess what? He is still there. How many of you guys are going through a difficult time right now? Guess what? Jesus Christ is present with you in that. He has not left you. He is with you. Everyone else may leave you, but Jesus Christ is the same. He is constant. Amen? When people have abandoned you, he is still by your side. When your strength is lacking, he is still dependable to provide strength. When you have sinned greatly, he is still faithful to forgive you for your sins if you repent and ask for forgiveness. Because God does not change, when storms come, God himself is the anchor in your storm. Some of you guys need anchors right now because your life is like a storm and you're feeling yourself being tossed to and fro. Christ is your constant in that storm. Amen? If you're a weary sinner, Christ is still the way, the truth, and the life. He has not changed. If you're searching for a way to have life and to have life eternal, Jesus Christ is still the way. Just like when he met Paul, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, even to this day, it's the same Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the high tower, the stronghold we run to. Amen. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." By the rock and the fortress, they don't move. The storms come and they blow, and the rock, the high tower, they aren't moved, right? They don't move. Okay, the storm is hit. But if you're anchored to Christ, if Christ is your constant, if he's your anchor, that stuff may go, but Christ keeps you through that storm. My goodness and my fortress and my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, Psalm 144:2 says. He is our hiding place in times of danger. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. That doesn't mean you won't have trouble, but he preserves you and brings you through. You guys have experienced where trouble has hit you from left. Where did that come from? But Christ has kept you, right? He's sustained you. He's given you the energy, the grace, and the strength. In the moment you need it, you're like, how am I getting through this? Not because of me, because Jesus Christ has brought me through. Because Christ has not changed. When the mountains quake, he is our rock and our fortress. If you're weary, he's your rest. If you're anxious, he still is your peace. Amen? He's the same. He does not change. We need a God who does not change. I'm in desperate need of change, but I'm in desperate need of a God who does not change. That's the glory of the gospel. If man could not ever change, that would be doomed. That's why he told, that's why he kept Adam and Eve from eating the tree of the of life, right? Because if they ate of the tree of life, at that time they would be stuck permanently in their sin, doomed. But the good news is this, that the constant God, the ever unchanging God, is able to change you and I. Amen? Your fears cannot change him. Your failures cannot alter him. Your lack of growth cannot frustrate him or change him. The same Christ who saved you at your first prayer will save you at the last dying breath you take. And all of us are going to take a last dying breath. We don't know when that is. But my prayer is you and I, let's look to Christ who never changes. Because God does not change, it means that he is unchanged by the trials I face. He is my certainty when times are uncertain. He is my hope, my future, when my future looks dismal or cloudy. So many times we don't know what's going to happen in the horizon. I don't know about you, but I like living in Phoenix because we can look across the valley, right? You go to other places in the country where there's forest everywhere, like I can't see 20 feet down past the road. I want to see around the horizon. Sometimes we go through life and there's clouds. I mean, like, Lord, where are we going? Where are we at? We have no idea, but Christ is with you in those cloudy times, in those stormy times, to guide you to his destination. Amen? He is my defense when I'm under attack. He is my strength when things change. My wisdom when I need it. Sometimes I need wisdom. God, I need wisdom every single day. Oh, Lord, are you still wise, God? Have you seen this before, God? Yes, my wisdom does not change. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I grow hungry and thirsty, he is unchanging in his provision. When I face an uncertain future, he is faithful to how he leads. My failures don't change his love. My faithfulness or faithlessness doesn't diminish his faithfulness. When I'm weighed down with guilt or dirty from sin of the world, he's still faithful to wash my feet as he washed the disciples' feet. He's unchanging. There's a reason to praise God, isn't there? Because he's unchanging, he cannot love you and I more than he already has. Because he's loved us with the perfect love. He cannot know you and I more than he already knows us because he already has known us with the perfect love. He cannot lead us with more wisdom than what he's leading us. By the way, follow him. Follow him. But he already has the perfect wisdom. And his word is unchanging. His truth is unchanging. He doesn't have, well, it's true for you, it's true for you, and true for me. No, no, no. He is the unchanging truth. And in times of change, Christ is your constant. In times of change, you need a God who does not change because he knows the future, he knows where he's leading, and you and I don't. Christ is to be your constant. He does not change. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Lord, thank you that you don't change. Thank you, Jesus, that life is constantly changing and we always look to the past and wonder what we could have done. We can learn, but you're a God who's faithful as you were to Abraham, as you were to Moses and to David, faithful you were to the early Christians, and you're still the same God who's faithful to us today. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank you, God, that you don't change. Thank you, God, that in eternity future, 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now in heaven, in the future, that you won't change then. You won't change your mind as to say, you know, I don't want to love these guys anymore. No, you will be the same. You're worthy of our trust. People will come and go. They'll lie. They'll cheat. They'll destroy. But you, God, are the same. And you're sovereign. And you're in control. And you're calling us to follow and trust you. There are some here today, Lord. They are in uncharted territory. They're in a storm. They're in a time of difficulty. Lord, may you be their anchor, Lord. May you be their strength. May you be their shepherd, their stronghold, their high tower. And Lord, may we worship you, God, for being a good, unchanging God who is our constant in the storm. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word.